Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Excitement, the fear, the trepidation, the anxiety over the return of the hostages is very, very real. And I read an article yesterday about one of the families just saying, we just don't know. We don't know what they are going to be like when they come back. Well, clinical psychologist Soren Kaplan is with us to unpack the psychological impact of long-term captivity, what hostages endure, what happens after their release, and how families and communities can support healing without causing harm. Serena, very good morning to you. In plain language, what are the most common psychological effects of prolonged captivity?
Morning, Howard. Good to be with you. So I think that, you know, when we look at this last wave of hostages that are poised on the precipice, on the threshold of being released, we are acutely aware that they are the hostages who've been sort of exposed to the most chronic and the most protracted period of time in their incarceration. So it would for sure stand to reason that the longer the incarceration, the more amplified the emotional toll is likely to be. So we've got to prepare ourselves and brace ourselves for that. And of course, offset this all the time as with a tremendous eagerness to celebrate, which can be very overwhelming for the very fragile state that we might inherit in these hostages upon their release. You know, they are probably currently the world's hottest commodities, who've already been used as human pawns, as bargaining chips. And I think what is so critical over here is there needs to be a tremendous sensitivity and compassion without intrusion. There needs to be solidarity without making them a spectacle. We need to avoid that predatory curiosity, that voyeuristic intent. And I think that is really the balance that this precarious moment calls for.
The concern that I have around this is when the other hostages came out, were released or rescued, they very quickly, most of them, from what we understand, became part of a cause to raise awareness, to release the other hostages, to fight for them. To some extent, I got the impression that this, ironically, was a bit of a life raft for them, that they had a cause that they could immerse themselves in. And we've spoken to quite a few family members of the hostages and hostages themselves, and it's that drive that seems to fuel them. A concern that I would have here is, will they have a cause? If all the hostages are out, will they have a sense of purpose, meaning, and something to hold on to?
I think that's a very salient point to consider, because I think you're quite right. There is something tremendously holding and purposeful about group membership that gives people a reason to carry on, a cause to support the future fate of the other hostages who are still in captivity to kind of hold out for. And I think that particularly for the families and the already released hostages, I think it can feel tremendously disorientating. They have all lived in crisis mode for so long that peace itself can start to feel very unfamiliar. So I think that they could fall into an abyss, if you like, of not having something to rally around and to give them and suffuse their lives with meaning. So they left only with the task of reintegrating themselves, which is such a long arc of recovery and readjustment. It's such a slow and complicated process as it is, you know, graduating from that extreme experience of control and deprivation to the freedom an intensity of reintegrating into society, devoid of that very purposeful role or job that previous hostages have taken on.
The uncle lost yesterday. We spoke to the uncle of one of the hostages, and he said the family is absolutely very pleasantly, but nevertheless shocked as to how well his nephew has managed to get back into life, managing things on his own. How resilient are people? Really, you know, like I would think that there's never getting over this. That would be my automatic assumption, is that maybe they can learn to live their lives, but this never goes away. Does it ever go away?
Well, I mean, I think that there's a bothness about it, Howard. I think that, you know, my guess is that, you know, in future years, this cohort or demographic of hostages are going to be the subject of a lot of resilience studies, looking at, you know, what buffered them, what were the factors or the variables that would account for a better outcome versus a more compromised outcome. And I think there's no question about it. It speaks to some sort of resilience about the Israeli population themselves, which I think has always stood out in this population. You know, trauma is not a brand new movie to them. And, you know, Israelis have withstood many, many cycles of, you know, wars of attrition, of wearing them down. And yet we know that they come out on the other side and go on to live productively and distinguish themselves, in fact, you know, beyond the norm. But then there's a big caveat to this. I think that on the face of it, they do reintegrate and immerse themselves into society. But the little bit of contact that I've had anecdotally with some of the survivors of this incarceration still speak of post-traumatic stress symptoms, sleeplessness, you know, using substances to cope and to bring about the relaxation. They still live with a very, very stretched and emotionally fatigued nervous system. They still have that exaggerated startle response. So I think that it would be naive of us to imagine that overnight, you know, these things disappear. I think that they are the backdrop and cast a very long shadow in these hostages' lives for a very long time. And I don't think that they ever completely dissolve, nor do they evaporate.
Is there a standard methodology or way to treat people that have been through this type of experience, or is it very individual and reaction-based?
So I think it's always customized to the individual, but what we know about Israel is they have really distinguished themselves in rolling out the world's best protocols for the treatment and having resources for evaluation of hostages who are newly released. And there's no question, as in previous hostage releases, these people will be whisked away to top facilities with the top mental health professionals who will attend to them, who will attend to their physical, emotional, psychological needs. And certainly, you know, Israel's on the cutting edge of all of this material. We have, you know, very, very prolific writings of experts in the field who will sort of be beacons and guiding lights for the rest of the world in this area. You know, I was in Budapest about 3 weeks ago, where I was privileged to attend a seminar on exactly this. You know, and the Israelis have, they have a template, they have a blueprint, which is completely groundbreaking. That I think the world will sit up and notice. So they haven't been asleep on the job. They have been collaborating and putting together protocols that address this very issue in the most sophisticated ways.
Seren Kaplan, thank you as always for bringing us this insight and this perspective.